Good morning, everyone. I'm Carolyn Yeager with the Revisionist Report on this Friday, August 12th. Wilfred Hienk is back with us to really get to the Adolf Eichmann story. Good morning, Will.
Good morning, Carolyn.
All right. It's wonderful to have you back. You know, I was reading up on some of the things you talked about yesterday, like the Flensburg government. And we'd really have to get into all of that sometime. But today we're going to stick with Eichmann, right?
We are, and we better, because we started 3 days ago. We better get with it before he gets resurrected. I mean, he's still dead, but if we keep going.
Okay.
Yesterday I finished off with Hüttel and his affidavit, which established the 6 million Jews killed. This was not based on any evidence or anything like that. And when you look at this, since then, historians try in vain to substantiate that 6 million. They haven't done it yet because the numbers in the camps keep changing. It is claimed that an other German officer, Wislicini, confirmed this 6 million. He did not. At Nuremberg, he said, Eichmann personally always talked about at least 4 million Jews. Sometimes he mentioned 5 million. According to my own estimate, I should say that at least 4 million must have been destined for the so-called final solution. How many of those actually survived, I'm not in a position to say. So he did not, he does not confirm that 6 million were killed in Norway.
Well, was this guy that was listening in on Hüttel, is he reliable? Even what he said about the
no.
4 million, and that's not reliable either, is it?
No, because I have both affidavits in the original in German, and perhaps I should translate them because they sound decisively different from the bits and pieces that being given.
If that's going to take too much time, you don't have to. We take your word for it.
Yeah, no, not now. Maybe in another show.
Okay.
Hüttel wrote a book. It was the first edition was published in 1953. Let me look. Yeah, 1953. The book is called The Secret Front. It's in English, and he devotes a whole chapter to Mr. Eichmann. He writes that Eichmann, the suspicion that he was of Jewish origin bothered him, even though no such evidence existed. So it was, you know, there's rumors about that he might be partially Jewish. Whether this is true or not is really not, I'm not going to get into it. What he writes is, Hüttel writes in his book, that Eichmann helped a lot of the Jews to escape. He was also instrumental in that Madagascar plan. And then later on, and this is Hüttel's writing, and I quote, Eichmann, the same man who helped hundreds of thousands of German Jews emigrate. Now, you have to remember this year, because he was the one instrumental in murdering the 6 million. We have never heard about him helping anybody get away.
Yeah.
He then switched one day to the next from departure to death. So from one day to the next, Eichmann said, no, I'm not going to let them emigrate anymore. I'm going to kill them from now on. Hüttel is at a loss to tell us why and how that came about, but anyway, it makes a good story. And the last part of his book, and this is the newest edition. I could not find one of the original editions.
Okay, we're going to have to cut you off there until we come back from our 3-minute break, and we will continue with Wilfred Hienk, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Huh. For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Have you heard? Proactive is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-489-0192. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactive risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactive Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-489-0192. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive, plus two free extras. Go to GetProactive.com or call 1-800-489-0192. That's 1-800-489-0192.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. My guest is Wilfred Hank once again. Wilf, you... Just to recapitulate for a minute, you seem to be, what I'm getting is that this Hetal, who is the source of so much of the damning idea about the Holocaust of 6 million and so on, he wrote that Eichmann helped hundreds of thousands of Jews to immigrate. And you know, in Wikipedia, which I look at to see what the official version is, you know, Eichmann was given the task of facilitating and managing the logistics of the mass deportation of Jews by Reinhard Heydrich. So that's where we start, right? I mean,
yes.
They had the program of deportation, and I was not aware that the number for Eichmann was hundreds of thousands. He helped hundreds of thousands to emigrate.
To emigrate, yes, saving them from deportation, in other words, like these were.
Okay. So now they're saying that he was in charge of deportation, but while he was doing that, he was secretly or on the side or something, saving hundreds of thousands of them from deportation. Right?
Yes, that's what Hetal claims in his book, and that was done under the eyes of Heydrich. Heydrich sort of looked away. And you know this story. I mean, I don't have to get into it. I mean, this is.
It can't be. It can't be. I don't think.
I have no doubt that this is true. That Eichmann did help, because you see, he visited Palestine. There are rumors around, and I didn't have a chance to look it up, and I forgot about that. He spoke Hebrew, from what I understand. He was not unfriendly to Jews.
Well, people have said he spoke Yiddish.
Yeah,
and which is German.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, which is basically German, so it's not so unusual. I don't think the story is that he spoke Hebrew, is it?
That's what I heard, but I'm not saying that this is true. I'll just leave it at that. Anyway, there is also evidence around that Hetal later on in his life admitted that the 6 million figure, that he knew that the 6 million figure was not true, that it was given to him. In the last part of the book, This is added to the new edition. He calls it sort of an epilogue. I said that already. He says that neo-Nazis in Austria are trying to get him to sign an affidavit, put that affidavit in trust and have it opened after his death, stating that the 6 million story that he brought up is a lie. Of course he's refusing this and so on and so forth. But by mentioning it, he is in a roundabout way confirming that he did say that he did, that this figure was given to him and that he is no longer sure that, or that he was never sure that it was true. Mm-hmm. Okay, that finishes off Mr. Hertel, because we need to get to Herr Eichmann. A while back, and I'm trying to sort through my papers here, I came across an article in the German newspaper, Junge Welt. I don't know if that's a weekly or daily. Dated 11th of October 2008. I did not find it then. I found it later. I found this about a year and a half ago, and I've been pursuing it since, sort of. The caption reads, he, referring to Eichmann, there's a picture of him right beside it, he was considered to be an American spy and had to be gotten rid of. Now, that's quite a title, I would say, because all of a sudden, from mass murder organizer of mass 6 million Jews to American spy, this is an interview in this newspaper between Gabriele Weber, who is a journalist. She works out of Buenos Aires, Argentina, and reports for German newspapers, German news services, and so on and so forth. And while in Argentina, she did research on Eichmann, and she wrote a book. The book is called Chatting with Socrates. I hope this is pronounced right. Mm-hmm. And later on, the interviewer asked her why she chose the title. And she said the ancient Greek philosopher had developed a very astute questioning technique 2,500 years ago. Direct, almost naive questions will likely expose the machinations of those people in charge. And she writes that journalists of today should remind themselves of it. Our profession has degenerated. We repeat what we are told to repeat instead of questioning what is handed to us. You cannot ask stupid enough questions. The most naive questions are usually the best. And that's why she chose that title. I got in contact with her. I contacted her, asked her where that book, because I couldn't find it. She told me where to get it. I did buy it. It's written in the form of a play. And she also explains why she did choose that way. She said she wanted to have the persons appear as they would have been, the persons involved, not just deliver dry data. I wrote her back and said, well, the book is very nice, and it is. It has a lot of, but there are no sources. And she says, okay. And I'll get into that, because she says she found that information in the archives in Argentine. But to confirm it, she's...
What archives in Argentine?
Well, she didn't name them, but she says she went to the National Archives in Argentine. And to confirm it, she ran up against a wall. And I'll get into that.
Okay.
There is, right in the beginning of that interview, the interviewer asks, in your book, Chatting with Socrates, you quote, the Mossad kidnapped Adolf Eichmann for his crimes against the Jewish people from Argentine. And your comment, a sentence, four lies. Would you please explain why?
Well, her comment was what? A sentence, what?
No, he asked her, please explain why you say that this is one sentence, four lies. And her reply was, the sentence repeats the official version, but through my research, I have arrived at different conclusions. First, it was not the Mossad that gave the orders in May 1960, but a small Israeli secret service entrusted with obtaining nuclear technology. Second, he was not transported out of the country because of his involvement in the Jew killing, but because of his knowledge about a triple deal. Third, he was not abducted. And fourth, not from Buenos Aires. So there she has these, why she says these are the four lies. She then continues, and in that interview she's asked, she says that the people that actually got in touch with Eichmann, and later on they did grab him, was a small Israeli espionage, economic espionage group called LAKAM. And they were given the order to obtain the know-how to build an atomic bomb for Israel. And that was in the 50s. A lot of the Nazi or German scientists had fled to Argentina. And the that time president, Perón, granted them asylum and had them work on his program to obtain a nuclear bomb. And this, the only, she says she has found out that the only possibility for the Israelis to get this knowledge about the nuclear bomb was to get to these German scientists in Argentina. The story about the abduction came up, according to her, only in 75. Before, Ben-Gurion at the Knesset only said that we have Eichmann, nothing else. She then continues and says, it was known already that Eichmann lived in Germany up to 1950. It was known already at least by 1957, where Eichmann was in Argentina, exactly where he was. The German news, the German security service knew about it, as did the CIA. Nothing.
Well, why didn't they go after Eichmann? Can we get that right up front? I mean, why didn't they go after Eichmann? Were they, he was a part of the Nazi hierarchy there, to some degree, right?
Yes. Why was he allowed to live in Germany up till 1950? Why was he not grabbed already earlier when they knew about it? There's even evidence that by 1954, they knew where he was.
They pretend, according to Wikipedia, that he was hiding out, he had taken on a different identity, and they didn't know who he was, and so on.
His kids attended school in Buenos or in Argentina under their name Eichmann. There was absolutely no hiding. And Gabi.
Oh, did he go there with his family, his wife?
Oh yeah, absolutely, yes.
Oh, they say all they ever talk about is him. Like he's running around on his own. Okay.
And she continues that Eichmann in Argentina, he had contact with these German scientists that had worked on the atomic bomb.
Well, do you have any names of these scientists?
Well, one of them is Otto Hahn.
Okay.
Otto Hahn was a prominent German scientist. There is now solid enough evidence to say that the Germans did have the atomic bomb. And why it wasn't used?
Well, was it ready to go?
Yes.
Mean they had a bomb all ready to go?
Yes.
Okay, well, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back with more in 3 minutes.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arrives by law and the offerer can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees. Just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
With Wilfred Hank. And I want to just say one thing before you continue, Wilfred. Well, a couple of things, because we have a caller, but I want to tell the callers that we might not be able to take calls today because there's a lot to cover. And I'm going to leave it up to Wilf whether he thinks he can or not. I don't want to be held up in the story. We can always talk about it more next week or something. Not that people will be ready to do that, but I do want to ask you, so there's that, Wilf. And then also, I just want to make the comment that Hannah Arendt, you know, she's that Jewish woman scholar who wrote a mm-hmm. book about the Eichmann trial. And she claims that that Eichmann was assisted in his escape. Now, I'm back to the escape to Argentina, you know, from where he mm-hmm. left from Italy, they say, by Odessa, a clandestine organization of SS mm-hmm. veterans. Well, other people say that this whole Odessa thing never existed, really, and it's just another kind of a myth. You have an opinion on that, because I think people might wonder about that.
No, I don't. But I don't. I personally don't think it existed. There is evidence, and that has come to light, that the German government even helped Eichmann to go to Argentina.
Okay. All right. Well,
so
continue.
No.
Yeah.
Anyway. Weber, Gabi Weber, all her research that she had done in Argentina or Argentina pointed towards the secret services, the German secret service, the Bundesnachrichtendienst, BND, and the CIA. So she started at the German secret service. She went to visit them in Berlin. She paid them a visit and asked for the Eichmann files to be handed over to her. After a few days, she got news from them. They told her no, and that this decision came from the chancellery. It came right from the top.
That she couldn't have them.
She could not have them. Mm-hmm. She went to court. She hired a lawyer, went to court. She won her case, and I have this from a newspaper publication, Bundesnachrichtenstube. It's a sort of an official publication about stuff that happens, of September 2010. She finally was handed some files, but it was only a farce, they write, because what she was handed was pages totally whited out, or black, nothing on it. And the information it contained, some of the information it contained, was from 1960s or 5960, which was not what she was after. She wanted to know how he got to where he's at. So, and they, to this day, he has not been able to find any of that information that she needs to back up her case.
She has not been able to find
it. No, she hasn't. They're still hiding these files. They're only giving her bits and pieces. And this is why she can't really confirm what she is saying. But by having this interview, and she did something else, and I'll get into that right away before we run out of time. This confirms, because a newspaper wouldn't touch a story like that unless she has fairly good evidence, because that is to claim that Eichmann worked for the Israelis to help them obtain the nuclear secrets. Nobody's going to touch that unless there is good enough evidence.
Well, I wouldn't either.
I wouldn't either. Anyway, she also she contacted Mossad and asked them why they're still telling the story about them abducting Eichmann when there is enough evidence to show that this is not so. They did not answer her, but she writes that a few days later, this story about the abduction of Eichmann disappeared from the Mossad website. And so they confirmed.
Wait a minute. The story about the disappearance of Eichmann. Is that what you said?
Mossad claims they have abducted Eichmann. She contacted them and said, why are you saying that when it is not true? Mm-hmm. They did not answer, but that stuff about them abducting Eichmann disappeared from their website.
Just because of her?
They never claimed that. I guess so.
Okay.
And with that, they are indirectly confirming that she is right.
Well, maybe.
You can take this with a grain of salt, and I'm not saying that we must believe what I'm saying here, but I'm saying that she has a solid enough case, because if she wouldn't have, why don't these secret services, and she contacted the CIA as well, she contacted Mossad, she contacted the German Secret Service, if she is wrong, why don't they release these documents and make a fool out of her?
Well, I don't know if they care about her, but do the Secret Services, do they ever release stuff like that? I mean, I don't think you can just write to them and say, give us, I want to know your information, and they're going to give it to you. Do you?
Well, she is making a serious charge.
Uh-huh.
Would they not make an effort?
I don't know.
She isn't talking about anything irrelevant. She's talking about something really, really.
What's her evidence again? I'm having a little difficulty here. Why is she making a serious charge? Because she's got the evidence of what?
She says that Eichmann helped the Israeli Secret Service.
Yeah, but what evidence has she got?
She found that in archives in Argentina, and she's trying all.
Okay.
Everything points to the secret services in Germany. She's trying to confirm it. They won't allow her. Why don't they? Because these are things that are relevant.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, we will get to the heart of this.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee study found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When I had a heart attack at 42, I was not sure what the future held. But a year later, the doctors could find nothing wrong with me and took me off all my medication. What did I do? I took a herbal mixture of garlic, cayenne, and a few other herbs mixed in liquid form. I now call this Extendovite. I would have never believed that a few simple herbs could actually change my life like they did. Now it's your turn to see what the powers of garlic and cayenne can do for you. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of micro plant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Micro plant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, micro plant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back, and Wilf, talking about Adolf Eichmann. Wilf, let's take that call from Bill, if he's still there, real quick. Are you still there, Bill?
Yes, I was wanting to ask, did I understand that Wilf is living in Canada, or do I have that confused?
No, I'm living in Canada, yes.
This isn't exactly on the topic of Eichmann.
Okay, Bill, I know who you are, and we are not going to take, we're not going to go off topic. So thank you very much for the call. I don't want to waste Will's time here today. So, Will, please continue with what you're going to go on with.
Okay, I want to finish that because I have another segment here.
Yeah,
The German Secret Service told Weber that they will keep these files locked at least until 2017. Whether they will ever see the light of day is questionable. I don't believe so. She also says that she has evidence, good solid evidence, that the Israeli government knew at least by 1957 where he was, where Eichmann was, and did nothing about it. Why did they not do anything about it? Because he had a job to do for them. He helped them obtain the material to build their atomic bomb. And she is then asked why he was all of a sudden put on trial. And she says his mistake was that he started to talk. He gave an interview, and this is when he became a liability. And this is when he had to disappear. And she was also asked why he wasn't killed. Why not just kill him? And her answer leaves a little bit, she talks about scandal. But I think that if he would have just been a mass murderer and no good for anything, they would have probably killed him or abducted him in 1957 at the latest when they knew where he was. By not doing so, by waiting an additional 2 years, he had a role to play. This is for me, this is confirmation that he was to some use to them, to the Israelis, and that's why he was allowed to continue. We have now, I contacted Gabi again, and just a couple of weeks or 3 weeks, a month ago, and she told me to go and visit her website, which is www.gabyweber.com. You go to the top, to the right-hand side, to the top, it's in German, where it says Aktuelles, it's spelled A-K-T-U-E-L-L-E-S, which is current in English. And the second the page that appears, the second from the top, there's a download in English. It says download English. And it is a transcript of a radio show that was broadcast on Friday, the 4th of March, 2011. So it is recent. And again, this is, she's repeating what she said in that interview in 2008. This was done on Deutschlandfunk. Deutschlandfunk is not one of the real big radio stations, but it is listened to. My brother listened to it regularly. It's news, mostly current affairs in the evenings and so on. And by having this aired, and I said that before, this for me is evidence that she has solid enough proof that they will broadcast this, because they wouldn't broadcast anything that is just half-baked, because they'd be open for libel. And it is...
Okay, it's just a radio interview, right?
Yeah, but you're broadcasting it and people are listening to it, and if this isn't to the liking of some people, this is not stuff, they're not talking about the weather, they're talking about Eichmann's role Germans' role.
Contrarily also, if it wasn't to their liking, they wouldn't let her on. So maybe they don't see that she's... Okay, but that's... All right. So she had the radio interview.
And she had that radio interview, and I'll read a little bit from that transcript, because it's done. Also, again, it's a speaker and author, meaning the author is her, and the speaker is the announcer. It isn't an interview as such. She says that almost a year before, on May the 11th, okay, it starts out April 1961 in Jerusalem, the trial of Eichmann starts. Almost a year before, on 11th of May 1960, the Israeli Foreign Intelligence Service had kidnapped Eichmann from his hideout in Buenos Aires. Three of these Mossad agents, among them their chief, it talked about the heroic deed, but it has long been known. In the beginning of the 50s, where Eichmann was, she said in that radio interview. And what lies behind the legend about this abduction and trial? Do they really only have to do with crimes of National Socialism? And she then talks about Hans Globke, and I don't want to get into it. I maybe can in the end if we have time. What were the relationship of the time Eichmann... The Eichmann trial between Chancellor Adenauer and Israeli's Prime Minister Ben-Gurion. What role did the most important intelligence services of the Cold War, the CIA and the KGB, play in this? Why many documents are still kept secret in this case? And might there be even perhaps a military link? This is, I'm reading from her translation. It's not a very good one, but it doesn't matter. For years, I have been driven to seek answers to these questions in both interviews and archives. Finally, after taking the German, the BND, to court, they gave me some partial insight in all of this, but she did get finally some confirmation. She then continues, she says, the CIA had known about the whereabouts of Eichmann since 1954. However, they had no interest in arresting him, at least not in 1954. 4 years later, in 1958, the Bundesnachrichtendienst, the German, once again informed the CIA about the location and allies that Eichmann had now fallen into their crosshairs again. And there is then, she makes a reference to the Soviet intelligence service. And then she says, beginning in 1956, and I said that already, Adolf Eichmann reluctantly agreed to interviews for the purpose of writing down his memoirs. And there was a group that met in Argentine, all SKPs from Germany, officials and so on. They published their revisionism. They told what they know about what had happened in the Third Reich. All of these publications, they were called Der Weg, the way. All of them have disappeared. I tried to find them. I couldn't. They were gone. They are gone. Okay. She then claims later on, and I can't go through all of it, three strands run through the matter of Eichmann, his abduction, matter of Eichmann about his abduction and trial. Plot number one concerns Adenauer's Secretary of State, Hans Globke. And the plot number two concerns the Israeli interest in their own secret nuclear program. And plot number three deals with the Allied summit of 16th of May, 1916, Paris, where the future of Berlin and the division of Germany would be discussed.
1916? What are you saying,
1916?
60. 60. Oh, 60. Okay, 60. 60. Right.
There was a conference in Berlin where the Russians wanted to get control of Berlin, and that it was discussed.
Okay.
I'm sorry, my voice is going again. Okay. The Bauer, the Attorney General, the Hessian Attorney General, who was Jewish, she writes, and so on, he had known of Eichmann's residence since 1957. See, she tried several times to have authorities arrest him. And in one of the documents I have, it is suggested that Bauer was, he had good contacts to Mossad. And she says the main goal in the political agenda in the 1950s of the Israel government was an atomic bomb. The U.S. did not wish to help, since their laws prohibited the manufacture of nuclear weapons for other states. Darn it, my voice. Ben-Gurion first asked the French for help. They offered a commitment for the construction of the Dimona reactor in the Negev desert, but U.S. President Eisenhower exerted pressure on Paris, and de Gaulle declined. And then would Bonn, after all the Germans had done to European Jews, be able to reject the wishes of Jerusalem? And she says no. In December 1959, a high-level delegation of German nuclear scientists, including Otto Hahn, the president of the Max Planck Society in Göttingen, and nuclear physicist Wolfgang Gentner, traveled to the Israeli Weizmann Institute. Both had worked on the Wonder Weapon, on the atomic bomb, and as I said before, there's good evidence, solid evidence now, that they had the atomic bomb. And 4 months later, the cabinet grant...
You're saying that that the government of Bonn at that time had the atomic bomb?
No, they didn't, but they had the knowledge. The scientists knew how to build it. The German scientists knew how to build an atomic bomb.
Okay.
And these scientists that had that knowledge traveled to the Weizmann Institute, and 4 months later, the German cabinet granted 3 million marks for the budget of the Atomic Energy Ministry for nuclear cooperation with Israel. The raw material, the uranium, was sourced in Argentina, who gave a total of 116 tons of so-called yellow cake to Israel. Now, only the money needed to build the nuclear reactor itself had to be found. On 14th of March 1960, 2 months before the kidnapping of Eichmann from Buenos Aires, Adenauer and Ben-Gurion met in New York. It was a harmonious meeting, wrote the press. And the outcome of the meeting was that the Germans would... the development assistance on a commercial basis in the form of a loan of $200 Deutschmark, per year, pledged over 10 years. Other meetings between the Chancellor Erhard and State Secretary Globke were conducted, and these concluded with an understanding whereby the first portion of this year's allocation, namely 85 million DM, would be released in June and July. That was in 1960. The Germans financed the Israeli nuclear program. Then, on 23rd of May, Eichmann was...
$3 million?
No, Deutschmark.
With 3 million Deutschmarks?
No. 200 per year over 10 years. 200 okay. million per okay. year over... The first 85 million were released in June and
this,
July.
And this was not the Holocaust reparations. This is some other money they sent?
That was for that program. That was just... It was
for this program, okay.
There was development project in the Negev Desert. That's that, what's it called? I think it'll come here yet.
Why would they do that? I have to ask that question now.
She was asked that question, and as I said before, would the Germans be able to refuse it after
Jews? I think so. I don't think that's a good enough reason, but that's
well,
just,
why would,
you know.
Why would they do it in your opinion?
Why would they do it? That's not a good enough reason to believe that, to say, well, the Germans wouldn't be able to refuse that request. I don't think that's evidence and evidentiary material and so on. You know that isn't. That's just an opinion. So, but anyway, I just had to interject that because I want to make sure I'm following what you're saying. So go ahead, continue.
She has found some documents that have top secret stamped all over it about this money transfer. It did
okay.
take place. It was 200 million a year for 10 years. This is in a document, not in her radio show. These are documents she had as obtained. And it was in that document, it says that in order to kind of camouflage it a little bit, it was to appear as a normal bank transaction. She then, in that interview, in that radio show, she said a source reports that major Argentinian military figures, including the commander-in-chief, regard Eichmann as a double agent in the employ of both Germany and Israel. This explains his excellent relationship with respected members of the Jewish community in Argentina. Extensive information will be found in his possession. Eichmann will no doubt put his sound knowledge to use. That was after he was arrested. And the fear was, and there's another document, I won't have time to get into it, that Eichmann would talk. He did not. We can only speculate why he did not. Maybe he tried to. Maybe he was told, look, we're putting that show on, but you'll be giving a light sentence or nothing. We'll give you a new identity or whatever. We don't know what happened exactly. Fact is, she makes a good enough case that he worked for them.
Well, now, then, is he supposed to be a nuclear scientist himself?
Who?
Eichmann.
No, he was the contact. He was
So all along he was a Zionist Jew, part Jewish maybe, but a Zionist helping Israel from the beginning, and he fooled Reinhard Heydrich and all of the National Socialists. Is that supposed to be SS?
That might be so, but as far as this caper goes, he introduced These German scientists that were working in Argentina to the Jewish agents of that espionage group to obtain that know-how. And that was before the Bonn government agreed to finance it and then send their own scientists to Israel to help them build the bomb. She continues by saying, overall, the state-owned bank paid out 630 million Deutschmarks for that project. And again, she repeats that the first installment was to be used for infrastructure projects and so on. The U.S. government was against rearmament in the Middle East in the 50s, and against the spread of nuclear weapons. As early as July 63, President John F. Kennedy had, in writing, called on Israeli Prime Minister to have the Dimona complex in the Negev inspected.
Yeah, true. We know that. Yeah. All right, we have to go to the break, our final break, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll be right back, Wilf, in 3 minutes.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com. Where reality shatters illusion.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Are you serious about maintaining or improving your health? If you are, you need Terravim. Terravim offers a full line of vitamins, minerals, and herbs for people serious about enjoying a healthy lifestyle. Our product lines include Alamax, Magnesense, Silver 100, Natura Health Products, Gala Herbs, and Terravim's private label, and undergo rigorous clinical studies by leading researchers and contain physician-grade research-based therapeutic doses of nutrients. All of our vitamin, mineral, and herb products are manufactured under current good manufacturing practices. This is in an FDA-registered production facility, and we guarantee that the ingredients in the supplements are exactly what's on the label. We also provide free consultation for all our products along with general wellness information. All orders over $45 ship free, and all orders received by 3 p.m. ship the same day. When shopping online, enter the coupon code RBN for a 10% discount. To order now, call 1-866-647-4372. That's 1-866-647-4372, or visit terravim.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I want to remind you that Wilfred Hank's website is Inconvenient History Revisionist Blog. And you can Google that, or you can, I'm not even going to bother giving the IRL for it right now, but it is on the archive page. And I do encourage you to visit that excellent website. Okay, Wilf, you conclude. You've only got less than 5 minutes.
I know, and I'm almost done. And I gave the website the address from Gabi Weber. Anybody interested in it, I would urge them to go and look at this, because it is a very well done document, and it has a lot more in it than I am able to say here in this short time.
I will get that from the when I listen to it again and write it down, or you can send it to me.
Yeah, I can.
And I'll put it on the archive page.
Okay.
For this program.
To finish this off, and here we go to that conference on 16th of May, 1960. They met in Berlin, or at a Paris, in Paris, at a Paris summit on May 16th, Khrushchev planned to propose a halt to all nuclear tests, to withdraw foreign forces from Central Europe, and to establish a nuclear-free zone, according to German Foreign Office files. NATO and the Warsaw Pact would sign a non-aggression act in case of refusal of this proposal. Khrushchev threatened to conclude a special peace treaty with the German Democratic Republic. This meeting had been prepared for a month, and of course the U.S. government knew about it, and about the Soviet proposal of a unified neutral Germany with Berlin as a free city. Eisenhower could have, of course, not let this happen. He feared an extension of Soviet influence and so on and so forth. The State Department, the U.S. State Department, needed to arrest Germany, which, without a peace treaty, was not sovereign and could not be given, and could be given orders. It remains so till today. This peace treaty, offered from Khrushchev, never came about. It was rejected. Khrushchev left the conference in a huff. Because if this would have happened, there would have been peace, no nuclear testing, Germany would have been united, a neutral country in the heart of Europe, a lot of problems would have been avoided. She then continues, many documents are obviously still secret, such as the letter of CIA Chief Dulles to Eisenhower's National Security Advisor Gordon Gray, dated May 11, 1960, the day of Eichmann's disappearance. The letter consists of two pages, is marked top secret, and is in a folder titled ICE only. I have requested its release. The State Department sent back my application for the release of this information with the note returned to sender, and again rejected my visa application without explanation. I sent a questionnaire to the CIA and requested the release of several documents. The answer is still pending. I have asked the Atomic Energy Commission and the Defense Ministry in Buenos Aires for information regarding the mission of Mr. Herbert York, who was sent to Argentina on May the 15th, 1960. Nothing there either. She has enough information and enough evidence that Eichmann was actually retained a week before this alleged kidnapping, that they already had him. There is something that does not add up here in this story. I don't care. Okay, it cannot be proven conclusively, but there is enough suspicion that...
Well, yeah, okay. Well, you know, there's suspicion. All right, well, we appreciate your bringing this story to us. We're going to have to cut it off now, well, whether we want to or not. Thank you very much, Wilf.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Have a great weekend, everyone. And we'll be back on Monday.
The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, and